Reading Joel chapter 1 from verse 5. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. Howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. It is Joel chapter 1 verse 8 that I would leave with you. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. The call to the backslider. The backslider or the cold in heart saint I should like to address today. Does the Christian who finds himself far from the Lord, who has wandered into bypath meadows, does the Christian in such a state realise how sad his condition is? Do you miss the Lord if that's you today? The Lord wants the backslider to feel the miss of him and return. That's the lesson in the text. That's what I want to endeavour to show you tonight. May the Lord help me in the struggling effort that I make, and may help you to patiently hear and take in for your soul benefit. You remember Mary at the tomb? She lamented like this, like the woman in her text. She is like the virgin, love weeping at the tomb. She is girded with sackcloth. You remember how it says, she stood at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. She sees angels. They ask her why she's weeping. She tells them, because they have taken away my Lord. Her Lord is gone. I know not where they have laid him, she says. And she doesn't hardly be impressed at all by the glorious angels. And then she sees someone standing. She doesn't know that it's Jesus. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she says, sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She misses her beloved. The last time we looked at verse 5 in Joel chapter 1. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine. And the commands there, and the nouns there, are in the plural. The people are exhorted kind of individually. Drunkards, drinkers. And the pronouns are in the plural. But in our text today, the command is different. There's a noticeable difference. The verb is singular. The nouns are singular. A solitary one is called. Lament like a virgin. Gird it with a sackcloth for the husband of her youth. Comparative lament is in the singular. Some individual is addressed. Someone is commanded to lament, and to do so like a virgin. One thing is addressed, and we have to ask, who or what is that person or thing? If you look at verses 6 through to 7, you will observe that this is God speaking. For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number. The personal pronoun occurs three times, my land. He hath laid my vine waste, my vine, and barked my fig tree, my land, my vine, my fig tree. God is speaking about Israel. God describes Israel in these three pictures. The locusts have been doing this, of course, physically. They have been coming up upon the terrain, upon the ground, upon the land. They have been laying waste the vines, coming into all the vineyards of Judah and Jerusalem round about, making bare the bark of the fig trees. This is literally happening all around. The people can go out anywhere on the land, in any part of the land, and see it. They can visit the vineyards and they can see it. They can pause at every fig tree and they see it stripped of its bark. But God doesn't say vines. And he doesn't say fig trees. He uses a singular. Because he is thinking of the body, the congregation of Israel. Israel is his people in the Old Testament. God is viewing them as one land, one vine, one fig tree. These are not three things. These are three images of the same thing. And that thing is Israel. Israel, God's people, in covenant with him in the Old Testament. It is not any land. It is not any vine. It is not any fig tree, but God's. My land, my vine, my fig tree. It is not Joel's land or vine or fig tree. He is a member of it. He's part of it. It is God's, and it is God that is speaking. And God is here highlighting his covenantal relationship, that Israel is his, that his people are his portion, a people for himself. Israel is God's land, his property. He wants Israel to be cultivated and fruitful, a place he dwells in and among. His temple at Jerusalem, symbolizing his ruling and reigning in the land among his people. Israel in the Bible is called the Lord's land, Emmanuel's land. Jeremiah 16, verse 18. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. God's land has been defiled. Israel is God's vine. You remember Isaiah 5, the song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. He fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And so the Lord here has the vineyard with a choice vine. And the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment. But behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. The vineyard is the Lord's, the choice vine Israel, Judah his pleasant plant. And of course, Israel is God's fig tree. You remember the Lord Jesus cursed the fig tree whenever he was leaving Bethany on his way to Jerusalem. He saw this fig tree afar off. It had leaves. He sought to find fruit thereon. And Jesus answered when he saw no fruit on it and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. The disciples heard it. Then the Lord went on into Jerusalem. The next morning, as they passed by, the disciples saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. It was that quick. And this is Israel in Christ's day. Israel with all its showy leaves, but no fruit. Israel with all its religion and with all its scriptures and with all its works, with all its appearance as a fruitful tree. And yet it's about to crucify Christ and reject Messiah and to be cut off. It is this body, Israel, God's covenant people, that is called in verse 8 to lament. That is why it is in the singular. God's people are then here called to lament, to wail. But notice the kind of wail God wants, the kind of crying he desires. Now you have to remember God wants repentance. And that's what this prophecy of Joel is all about. Repentance. Turning again to the Lord. Seeking God and getting the Saviour to return to them. And an important part of repentance is mourning and grief for sin. And the Lord wants the people to repent and to lament a certain kind of lamentation. This is to be noted. They're to lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth. God has a picture in his mind, and he wants that picture in our mind. The image God uses is of virgin and husband. This is no accident. This image has not come up by random or haphazard. God is telling us something, even as he is telling Israel something. The Lord doesn't want mourning from us, like a farmer mourns. The farmer, he loses his crops or his beasts, his cattle. The Lord doesn't want mourning like the drunkard. He can't now get his drink. Just because he can't get his drink, he can't get his glasses of booze, and he mourns. The mourning God wants is of the kind in our text. Now, this kind of mourning is very great. Other kinds of mourning are very great too. We're not underestimating that there are other forms of mourning that are right and proper and tragic as well. The mourning for a child who has died. The mourning as the mourning for an only son. Sometimes God does use that image. Jeremiah 6 verse 26. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation. And so you can imagine an only son. The only prospect of the future of the home. The income, perhaps, and the support when the parents are old, an only son. Well, he's gone. And the name is gone. And there's great mourning. And Zechariah 12, verse 10, the Lord says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's a great mourning. And Christ is speaking. And the people are awakened in this prophecy. And they're realizing Christ, they've pierced him, and they mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son. This is repentance. God doesn't use that image here, because he wants to remind them of his hesed, his mercy, his covenant mercy, his loving kindness, his covenant loyalty, his faithfulness, his truth and mercy that endures forever, which is seen in his covenant with them. And so we have to ask what's in God's mind when he calls them to lament like this. The answer is the covenantal relationship with his people. The mourning is to be like a virgin for a husband that is gone. What brings a virgin and a husband together is a covenant. And they are a couple because of covenant. We have to get this image. And please bear with me as we endeavour to let the word sink in. God has carefully inspired and framed this text. We ought to allow him the time and to show the care to let it, his word, sink into our minds. A virgin with a husband. The husband of her youth. But she's girded with sackcloth. She's in grief, in mourning. She has suffered loss. Her husband has gone. He is dead. The marriage was not consummated. There was a covenant relationship. But something has happened. And consummation never took place. Now, to understand this, you have to understand marriage in the scriptures. A young woman could have a husband in Israel before they came together, before they come to live together. Couple are engaged. Covenant has been made. The spouse to a husband. You remember Mary and Joseph, they were something like that. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And yet Joseph was looked upon as her husband. It's a very exciting time. And there are love gifts from the husband. That's the way it is in Israel. They're not actually living together. That doesn't happen till after the marriage supper. And that could be up on a year away. Could be months away. And the marriage supper, the marriage feast, it could last for days, maybe even weeks. And the bride is looking forward to it, to be with the husband of her youth, looking forward to being with him and being fruitful by him. Every bride looks forward to that. But something has happened in the verse before us. The love gifts have ceased. The communications from her beloved are over. Something catastrophic has taken place. And normally it would be that the husband has died. And there will be now no consummation, no more love gifts, no more communications from him. No marriage supper. No setting up house together. It's tragic. It's always tragic when an engaged couple and something like that happens. The virgin is heartbroken. There's no grief like it. That's the kind of mourning God wants. Israel is God's bride. The Lord is the husband of his people. He is in covenant with them. We as God's people have been loved by the Lord. Our precious Saviour loved us and gave himself for us. He has been a fruitful husband to us. And we could go on and portray that more and more. Talk about the Lord's mercy to his people. Talk about his loving kindnesses to us as Christians and to you, backslider. Everywhere in Scripture, the love of the Saviour to his people is set forth. Thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth. When thou wast refused, saith thy God. That's the way it is for a Christian. He was in a sin, he was refused. He was far off, like a woman forsaken and grieved, and had no hope. But the Lord called. His hesed found you. His mercy saved you. His love drew you. How good is the Lord. How good he's been to his people. Hosea 2 verse 19, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord. Isaiah 62. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. And thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee. And thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. And so God's people are so privileged, so blessed, and the Lord cares for them so much, and he gives them pastors and teachers and watchmen who never cease calling to them, exhorting them. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness will I draw thee. Such a husband. And God's people are waiting for the consummation, waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb, waiting to be joined to him and to be with him, as it were, forever and ever in his presence. But in this scene before us, in our text, the husband is gone. And in such a case, what should the virgin be doing? Lamenting. Girding themselves with sackcloth. Lamenting his absence. You have it there in verse 13. Gird yourselves and lament. Ye priests, here it is again. You ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. There's something to mourn here. There's something tragic has taken place. The Lord is gone, and the priests need to gird themselves and to lament. Not to imagine he's not gone. Not to imagine everything's all right. No, the meat offering, the drink offering's gone. It's been withholden from the house of God. His love gifts aren't the same. He has gone, and they need to lament. Chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord is speaking, turn ye to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. And that shows us that the being girded is figurative. The Lord really wants the heart to be melted and mourning and broken. He wants us to rend our hearts and not our garments. And to do what? To turn unto the Lord your God. And here again we're reminded of his hesed, his grace, his kindness. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. That's how the Lord appeared when he showed himself to Moses in the early days. When Israel was just a youth, he showed his glory, he showed his hesed, his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness. And now Israel is called to turn unto the Lord, to seek him, to lament his absence. Verse 14, who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Do you see that word, he will return? Who knoweth if he will return? He's gone. The husband is gone. And Israel needs to turn and to repent. Who knoweth if he will return? He'll come back. He'll repent himself. Remember how it's put in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offence and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. That's often the way it is. It's in the affliction that the backslider realizes that the Lord's face is gone and he seeks him again. Now, what are we to think of this young woman, now bereft of her husband, and she didn't mourn? What would we think of her? Or if she mourned just the loss of his gifts and his love tokens? Oh, I don't get any garments from him anymore now. I don't get any jewellery sent to me. I don't get any love notes sent to me anymore. Just mourned that, but didn't mourn him. Didn't say in her mind, he is gone. My beloved is gone. If she just was sad because she doesn't have these things anymore, and she doesn't have this prospect of, you know, being married and getting all her debts paid, and she won't get this and that and the other, but didn't mourn him. What would we think? Now, Israel is mourning. Of course it is. A locust plague is no light thing. It means death. I don't have to paint the picture to you. We could go and visit in our imagination a poor Jewish home full of little mouths in the midst of a land ravaged by an army of locusts. They're dead and dying all about the land. It's tragic. Vines and fig trees are not replaced overnight. Takes years to get suitable harvest yields. The poor don't survive. The economy may recover in years to come, but the poor don't last that long. It's tragic. Israel is mourning. Mourning the material losses, mourning the deaths. But does Israel miss the Lord? Is Israel lamenting like a virgin bereft of her husband? Yes, she misses the Lord's gifts. There's no doubt about that. The harvests and the fruitfulness in the land. And all the sound of music and of joy and the festivities in God's house. Yes, she misses all that. But does she miss her Lord? This call and play, she doesn't. That's why the Lord has to say it. She's lamenting. But he says, lament like a virgin, gird it with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. If she lamented the way she ought, the Lord would come back again. You see, the Lord loves the backslider. That is why he calls this way. When the Lord saves us, he expects his hesed, his mercy and his loving kindness, he expects that to be all reciprocated. He who loves and is loyal desires love and loyalty. It's not legalism. He wants our hearts. And he says to you, thou hast left thy first love. He wants you to realize that, to mourn and lament that. As Jeremiah puts it, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? That's what the Lord wants, from this time. Oh, you've been hit by afflictions. All these troubles have come into your life. It's the Lord. Will you not now begin to cry and say, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Child of God, have you lost out with the Lord? Is he distant? Have clouds come between you and him? Has he hid his face? Lament. Come again to the cross. Come again to the empty tomb. Come again to the Father's right hand and lament and tell the Lord you miss him. You miss his hesed, his kindness, his love tokens. Mourn the griefs you have caused him. He doesn't want you to become legalistic. He wants you to remember his love, his covenant, his kindness. And he just says, give me your heart. Do you not miss him? Do you not want him more than anything? Can you not say again from your soul, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. How did it finish with Mary? Love weeping at the tomb for a missing Christ. How did it finish with her, mourning thus? What happened? Whenever you lament like a virgin, gird it with sackcloth for the husband of your youth, when you miss Jesus and you want him again, and you lament and call upon him and seek him till you find him, mourning thus, something happens. He returns. What happened, Mary? He called her by name. Mary. And the whole situation changed about. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, Master. And when Israel mourns thus, as in her text, when she realizes the miss of her Lord, then the Lord will call her name again, Israel. Has the joy of first love gone? Child of God, look again to your Saviour. Hear his voice in this word to your soul. For a little moment, he's hid his face and sent these afflictions. But let him hear your voice again, the voice of your heart, a voice from a heart that has been touched afresh by his mercy, by his loving kindness, as seen in his call and in his word. Turn and lament, and he will turn unto you and speak peace to your soul and restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. For he loves you still. To such a gracious Lord and such a wonderful Saviour, our blessed Redeemer Jesus Christ, be glory and honour. Amen.